We've enjoyed being in your presence, and I didn't think that I'd be called upon here to try to speak to you. My mind has been a little different than what I've been listening to. I feel that that's what I have to speak upon. It's what's on my heart.
Amen.
You know, the scripture that I'm thinking about is it's in the Hebrew letter, 11th chapter. It said, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." I don't know how that you brethren esteem the church here in this world, but it's an establishment that Christ has established, and it is the church. It is the only church here in the world. I don't say that to run other people down, but according to this gospel, this is the gospel which Christ preached when he was here upon this earth. Now, the church is not established to save souls for heaven. Not at all. The church is established that you'd bring forth praise unto him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as you have gathered here today, I feel sure you've come together for that purpose, to give all praise unto the one that has been spoken of here earlier. This man walked upon this earth for 36 years. And like one brother said, we've heard of Christ, we've heard of God, but I didn't know him. I didn't know the Son, I didn't know God. It has to be revealed. And I think when Jesus talked to his disciples, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, some say in their answer that you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets, or John the Baptist. But he says, "Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter, being a spokesman, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can't we say that with all sincerity? But how do we say it? Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." There's a time appointed of every one of his children when he quickens them.
Amen.
That may be even before you're born of your mother. John the Baptist was of the Spirit before he was born naturally, wasn't he? I was 36 years old. And when he brought me to this banqueting house, oh, what joy that I felt in my heart. Now, when he quickened me, I was troubled. I was concerned. But before that, I was happy. I was seeking the things of this world, satisfying the desires of the flesh. But you know, as the scripture says in the second chapter of the Ephesians letter, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Well, that's where I was. I didn't know it. I had no understanding or idea why I was on this earth. But listen to the wonderful words in that same chapter when he says, God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. That's a work of grace, isn't it? By grace ye are saved. Now you can see the great benefit. No wonder that David said, what shall I render unto my God for all his benefits towards me? David was going to build a house after all his enemies were conquered and he was at rest. He was going to build a house for the Lord. He was going to do something for the Lord. And the Lord said, have I ever asked you to build me a house? That's the nature. That's the carnal mind. And David meant well, and his son Nathan, you know, David said, I want to build a house. Nathan said, well, that's fine. Too often, we're leaning on our natural carnal mind instead of the Word of God. That's one of the problems that we have a warfare against. This Christ that you're speaking of established this church here in the world, and we speak about the will of God. Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Well, he was sent, wasn't he? He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, brethren, I didn't know that. It had to be revealed. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them by his Spirit. That's why we rejoice. That's why we come together to praise our King. To thank him. Of all his people in the world, there's a few, there's a remnant that he has called and determined even before the world was created. Listen to what the Scripture says in the Ephesian letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This is not a happenstance. This is something that God determined before the world was created. And he knew his people before ever this world was created. He knew you. He determined to have a people with him in glory, and it's an innumerable number of people, and I'm not concerned about who is or who isn't. But I'll tell you this, I know a lot of precious saints. I know by the evidence they are his children. And he brought me to the banqueting house. You think of a banqueting house where there's just all kinds of food? Symbolic of the church. When you come to the church, we don't have all the fine pictures and statues and all of these things about us. It's a simplicity, and we have the greatest inheritance in this world. To know that this Son, he didn't come into the world to try to do anything. He came to fulfill His Father's will. That all that the Father giveth Him, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And He brought this individual here into this enlightenment, and He quickened me, and He caused me to be troubled in heart, greatly concerned. But when He brought me to the banqueting house and I was able to hear the gospel preached, oh, how sweet it is. Well, here this man, you know, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His own people refused Him. His own people denied Him. And yet there was a few. But He came for this purpose, to redeem you unto God. And the Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And oh, what rejoicing when I heard this. Good news from afar. It's that which is revealed in the heart of His ministers, and they're able to preach this gospel unto you and telling you, as Jesus says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of Me. He alone tread the winepress. Because He loved you. And I look back when the day that I was able to hear this. And what rejoicing. And in my travel, and in this day in which we live, I have great sorrow. I sorrow when I look about and see God's children neglecting the church. In James, it tells us, when we talk about the will of God, it says, of His own will begat He us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. My brethren, am I one like that? Am I walking like that? Can't you see the church that He's established here? Now, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you. You're the church. Can you see the honor that He's placed upon you and raised you up out of darkness in this marvelous light? Hadn't given you something so wonderful? A hope? A desire with an expectation? And the publication of this gospel here, I think of Elder Piles when he said, this is not a proposition. It's a proclamation. It's declaring on you that Jesus saved us. He didn't put it in the hands of the preacher. He didn't put it in your hands. When you speak of that suffering of that son when he hung there on that cross, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness upon the earth. He suffered. And just as the Isaiah the prophet spoke, all your iniquity was laid upon Him. And where were we? It said, all we, like sheep, had turned to our own. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Now, brethren, you and I could never stand before God. Our sins. God is a God of great wisdom. And He's too pure of eyes to behold iniquity. And there had to be a sacrifice that was perfect before you and I would ever be able to stand before God. And God provided His Son, sent Him into this world here for the very purpose. And that Son had no sin. Do you see Him this morning? As He came to the hour to be crucified, He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." Well, I can just see it so perfectly, children. Why, I wouldn't have gone to that cross. But all the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He gave His life for you. And that Son was the perfect sacrifice that could stand between you and God and justify you. And when I was able to embrace that and see it, and the wonderful hope that I could see this man, why, He died for sinners, of which I know I am. He didn't love sin. He don't love sin in that He loved sinners, but He loved His people even though they were dead in sin and trespasses. He came into this world to justify you and to bring you unto His own. And it was God manifested in the flesh. And though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you might be made rich. Are we a follower? Are we walking with Him? Is it first in our lives? I see so many of God's people today. They're unconcerned about the church. Oh, they go. It's meeting time. And when it's time for your meeting to be called and you're going to join together, do you have this feeling? Why, today's meeting time. I got to go to church. I got to go to church. But are you through the week praying that your pastor will be enlightened and that it would bless him to speak to us? Are you hungering and thirsting, desiring to be joined with the saints again to hear the proclamation of this gospel? And giving you that great assurance. And this is an inheritance that He has given unto you and I, that you would bring forth praise and glory unto God. This is why the church is established here in the world. It's to His praise. And you're a chosen vessel. He chose you to this, that we would walk in a way that would bring forth praise. Just think here what it says in the 1 Peter. You read this in the 2nd chapter of 1 Peter, it says in the 21st verse, "For even herein were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." Is my walk, is my conversation, is my praise to Him? Do I, as I walk about the world, am I an example? When I may be rebuked, do I answer back and rail against? Listen to what Jesus, how He lived. He set an example who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. As you walk in this life, you're a special chosen people. And as he told Abram, he says, come out of your father's house into the land that I'll show you, and I'll make of you a great nation. And I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And I'll guarantee you, he's still the same God today he was back there with Abram. He cares, and if you put your trust in him and seek to follow him, he said he'd never leave you. And that's a promise that you can do, rely upon. I'll never leave you or forsake you. We're the ones that forsake him. We're the ones that leave him. And we've become so settled at times, and we forget that we was purged from our own sins. I go about many different meetings, and you can find the faithful when they have an all-day meeting. There's just a few that stays in the afternoon. There's some that have excuses every time they meet. They can't be there in the afternoon. Now, brethren, this is what I believe. When I ask for a home in the church, and that's talking about the brethren, there's a vow that we make before our God. I'm going to walk in newness of life. I'm going to be baptized in that liquid grave and put away the desires and the lusts of my flesh. And I want to walk with one who gave his life for me. I want to honor him all the days of my life. And I want to be with that body when they meet. I want to be there with them. Not that they have to have me there, but I need them. And the things of this world, there's so much today that draw people away from serving God. You as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. This is why you're called. Do I represent that? That's my concern. And so he says here, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And listen to this good news here. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, listen to this. We're not. God looks upon you today through His Son. Because when He hung there on that cross, He justified you unto God. And He beholds you through the eyes of His Son. And just as it says in Isaiah, as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons remain. marry thee. He was talking about the age in which you and I live, that when Jesus died on that cross, your sins were washed in the blood of the Lamb. To be put away as far as the east is from the west. And when I heard that, nothing in this world mattered. My family, nothing else. I wanted to walk with Him here in the kingdom and serve Him. And I wanted to be with the brethren when they meet there. And this is the cause for coming together, is to praise Him. And no wonder when David, when he was told, and after he thought about building a house, the Lord told him, says, after you sleep your fathers and your days be fulfilled, He says, I'll raise up one from out of thy seed. He'll build me a house. I'm going to read that to you. It's so precious. Second chapter of Samuel. Seventh chapter, 2 Samuel. The Lord spoke to David through his son Nathan. In the 12th verse, and He says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." He's talking about the Son of God. Remember Joseph, when he found that his wife Mary was with child, he was minded to put her away privately. He's a just man, wasn't he? The angel spoke to Joseph and said, "Fear not, Joseph, thou son of David." You see? Son of David. "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and he shall save his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins." And my brethren, when he hung there on that cross there, and he spoke to his father, he said, "It is finished." He fulfilled it. He told his brethren before he went to that cross, he says, "I now as the prince of this world cast out, which has no part in me." He had no part in sin. He was not a sinful man. He was a righteous, holy individual, wasn't he? The Son of God. And he says, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Signifying but what death he was going to die. And that just tells me, it should tell you, that death, and if he be raised up, and he is raised, I'll draw all men unto me. He did not say, "Children, that if they'll accept me or give me their money or do these certain things or get baptized and all the requirements that we might think of." No. Think of the scripture when Paul was teaching Timothy. "If we believe not, God abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Oh, but the church that he's established here in the world, how wonderful it is to be able to sit at the feet of the brethren and hear the gospel proclaimed and feeling the great assurance. I know that I have a home in heaven. I know I have eternal life. The scriptures tell me that. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." and shall not come into condemnation. Well, my brethren, since the day that I heard this proclamation, I haven't been concerned about trying to justify myself before God. What I'm concerned about is that I might walk with Him, that I might feel His presence and His guidance. And you know in Proverbs it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And the closer we walk unto our God, and to walk by what He teaches us in this book. But here's the sad part. Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman, and ye are the branches. Every branch says, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman, and ye are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is broken off. Now, brother, you could have your name on the book as being a member of this church, and brethren would speak of you as being a member of the church. That's nice. Well, I want the evidence from my Father that I am walking with Him. That's the important part. But if we're not bringing forth praise as we're supposed to, we should study. Every one of us should study this book. And when it's opened up and brought to our revelation, how sweet it is. How glorious it is. Well, you read in the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes where it says the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Why is that? Why, my brethren, there's a joy, there's a salvation that you're going to enter into when this spirit is raised. It will do not, it won't go in the grave. David said, thou wilt not leave my spirit in the grave, in hell. He believed and rejoiced in Noah. And he said, my tongue, my heart was made glad, and my tongue, oh, how he could speak. Rejoice, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's at my right hand that I should not be moved. Why, you brethren here, the more the stronger you are in this gospel, you have the confidence that you are one of His children, and you're going to reign. You're going to stand before God holy without blame because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so when David said, what shall I render unto my God for all His benefits towards me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of my God. And this is why we should walk in the church. This is why we ought to get baptized and walk with Him here in the church. You're a chosen vessel. If this touches your heart to understand that you're saved, the world about you and all over, they're trying to save souls for heaven. Well, my brethren, you were saved nearly 2,000 years ago. And these men that stand before you, not one of them is trying to persuade you to accept Christ. They're telling you that if this gospel feed your soul, if there's joy springing up when you hear this gospel telling you that Jesus saved you, you're a special people. You're chosen. He did that by His will. this man here never would have come to God. I wasn't seeking God. As I told you in the very beginning here, I was seeking to walk as this flesh desires. But oh, when he showed me something far above this world, the wonderful hope that we have to realize there's coming a time, children, we'll no longer have troubles and sorrows and farewells and all of this. Even in the church, the glorious evidence that we have of that evidence, that love, the Spirit, He raises us up from time to time and causes us to sit in these heavenly places. And oh, how glorious it is. But you know, this is just an earnest of what He has in store for you and I. But as long as we're in this tabernacle here, we're not fit subject to receive it. But He has made us fit. Let us draw closer unto God. I like what your pastor said in the seeking. That's a feeling I have when he speaks. You know, charity. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. You know, the church can't exist without charity. You can see how the apostle went to the different churches and he rebuked them and tried to bring them back into the fold and the truth. Just like the Galatian brethren, he said, "Oh, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who's called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another." My brethren, if we do not draw nigh unto God, and if we do not follow in this way here, we're going to be broken off from the church. It's a high calling that He's given you and I, and we ought to esteem it that in our life. Highest of all. And love one another. Even in there, you know, there's a scripture says, it speaks about the wounds of a friend. You know, if you're a friend in that sense, and brother has erred, he'll be a good friend to you if he'll come and try to talk to you and encourage you to walk different. And that's what the friend is. My brother, he that hath friends must be friendly. But there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have something that we're rich above all the ideas and thoughts of men in this world. This church, the head of it is Christ. And He established you. I want to walk with Him the rest of my life. I want to walk closer to Him. And I want to encourage God's people to be filled with that charity that you're speaking of, Brother Steve. You know, be kind one to another, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Remember that when someone wants to be forgiven. How were you forgiven? Well, He forgave me of all my sins in the person of His Son when He gave His life there on that cross. And all the church in all of its glory, we have our problems, but let's love one another in spite of our problems and live together in peace. I thank you for your kind attention. Thank you.